are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, June the 25th, and some Cueto talk today for the MSU crowd. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the D covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Wanted to give a little bit of background about me in case there are some new listeners, and I know there were after our big numbers from the draft coverage. Appreciate that. I'm a Royal Oak guy. Grew up in the suburbs there, went to Central. Always knew I wanted to be a sports writer and announcer, so here I am doing that. Lived in Port Huron, also the Ozarks, in the Virgin Islands, in Chicago, and moved back here actually about a year ago into the Detroit area, and now I'm back downtown. So excited to bring the offseason to you guys. We've got draft coverage continuing. We're going to look ahead to free agency and summer league and all that good stuff over the next couple of weeks before we delve into the abyss of the offseason. We'll find some fun stuff to do, including the Are You the Biggest Pistons Fan in the World contest. We're looking for the biggest Pistons fan in the world. We got 12 contestants. Hey, and if you want to jump in, feel free. We'll take some more contestants. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. Send in some trivia questions along with the answers that any Pistons fan would know if they were the biggest Pistons fan in the world. I'll poach your questions, and what it is a single elimination tournament to determine the biggest Pistons fan in the world. Hell, we'll open it up. No rules here this offseason. And those of you who are in the contest already, you know who you are. Just look for an email from me sometime in the next couple of days, whenever I get around to it. Busy guy here in this world. But today we're going to talk about the news of the day, the Palace's fate, and also some of the summer league additions for the Detroit Pistons. We're also going to talk to Will Hunter of Locked On Spartans about Matt McQuaid, Nick Ward, Kenny Goins, and all those Michigan State basketball alums now, including Matt McQuaid, one of the newest members of the Detroit Pistons franchise. And give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But for the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at the handle Locked On NBA Net. An awesome way to get all the latest opinions from all the local experts during NBA free agency. Again, that handle is Locked On NBA Net. And spell that all out, and you'll get that Twitter handle for you. And you don't have to go ahead and follow all of us, but just follow that account and follow me too. Give me the extra follow. Really appreciate that. But the new stuff from Monday, Lewis King signed to the Pistons on a two-way deal. That was reported on Monday. He was from Oregon. He went undrafted in Thursday's draft. The reason that he was not picked, despite his immense talent, is some character concerns. So kind of Kevin Porter Jr. light, maybe tons of talent, lots of questions about him. All the Pistons fans out there who wanted to take a swing on a Kevin Porter type at number 30, the Pistons obviously ended up trading out of that pick and acquiring some second-round assets that they ended up dumping most of them to acquire Davidas Servetus of Lithuania. I almost said Livonia. He's not from Livonia. He's from Lithuania. But Kevin, he's, like I said, Lewis King, probably not as talented as Kevin Porter Jr., but maybe not quite the character concerns as the USC guy. But Lewis King is 6'9". He can shoot. He can dribble. He can play. He was a guy linked to the Pistons throughout the draft process, possibly at number 45, a pick that they ended up not taking as well. But Lewis King was the number 20 player in the 2018 high school class going to college there, according to 24/7 Sports. And Kevin Porter was only 28 on that list, and that's the composite rankings, based on a composite of all the recruiting rankings, major ones out there. So, you know, ironically, even though Lewis King is the guy who went to Oregon, Porter is actually from the Pacific Northwest, while King is from New Jersey. So Lewis King added to the Detroit Pistons on a two-way roster, so not just a summer league invite, which is apparently the deal that Jared Uthoff got, the summer league invite there from Iowa. Sportando is reporting that the former Iowa star will join the Pistons for summer league, which is starting July 5th in Las Vegas. Uthoff spent the last season playing for St. Petersburg in Russia, Zenit, a team in St. Petersburg, and he spent the majority of his first two professional seasons in the G League. He did play in 9 games near the end of the 17-18 season with the Dallas Mavericks in the league. He's another 6'9 guy, 6'9, 210. So 6'9, 69, some nice pickups for the Pistons there, Lewis King and Jared Uthoff. You can combine them with the 6'9", Sekou Doumbouya as well. So lots of 6'9 guys for Ed Stefanski in the group. And also 200-and-something pounds there. So, again, played at Iowa, was a Hawkeye, all Big Ten type of guy. 19-6 as a senior, played three seasons for the Hawkeyes. And like I said, played nine games for the Dallas Mavericks at the end of the 16-17 season. So we've got ourselves a summer league roster. Those two guys, Uthoff and Lewis King, add those to Matt McQuaid, a summer league signee, and Benny Boatwright of USC, a summer league signee. Matt McQuaid, of course, of Michigan State. We'll talk about him with Will Hunter a little bit later. But Dante Hall, still unconfirmed, but according to what looks like one of his friends on Twitter, or maybe a family member, not sure the young lady is, but from Alabama, 6'9", 230 pounds. Again, 6'9", some nice pickups for the Pistons. And kind of identical size at 6'9", 230 is Sekou Doumbouya, a four-year player at Alabama, two-time All-SEC defense. But again, a tweet congratulating Dante Hall and his mother for him playing for the Detroit Pistons. And we are kind of assuming, on the flying by the seat of our pants, that that means that Dante Hall will join the Pistons on a summer league invite there. Ed Stefanski, before the draft, intimated that Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, and Kyrie Thomas would all be playing second-year players on the summer league team. No Luke Kennard, no Thon Maker, but you can add that to Sekou Doumbouya, Davidas Servetus from the second round, and Jordan Bowen, also the number 57 pick from Tennessee. And I'm counting 11 guys. So sometimes those benches get long in summer league, so should be close to maybe the maximum amount of players. But like I said, sometimes guys just kind of end up at the end of those benches, and those summer league rosters get a little bit unwieldy. Also interesting to note that we haven't heard anything from some of the Grand Rapids Drive players from last year, including two-way guys such as Isaiah Whitehead, Kalen Lucas. What are those guys doing? And John Horford, you know, some of the other guys that were standouts from the Drive last year. What's up with those guys? So we'll try to find out some of that information. Obviously, the Pistons will release their official summer league roster, I would imagine, sometime in the week leading up to the first games, which are July 5th. So maybe sometime next week that will become official, but maybe I'll send out some feelers to some folks that I know throughout some of these entities and try to find out maybe some of that news myself. I'll task myself with that. We'll talk about the Pistons and the Palace, what's going on with that structure a little bit later. But next, we are going to talk to Will Hunter of Locked On Spartans. He is the host there. You should be listening to him every day if you're a Spartans fan or even you're a casual. Will does a great job, has a lot of fun with that show. More fun than I do sometimes, but he's got better teams to talk about, so I'll give him that credit there. But that'll be coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now I cover the Tigers across the street. I cover the Pistons all the time. I cover all this stuff. And of all the four major sports teams in Detroit, and then the Big Six, so to speak, if you throw Michigan and Michigan State, and then throw the football and basketball in there, Michigan State Hoops is like the one team that you can feel really good about right now in terms of the franchises. You can feel confident that you're going to have a good team on the floor next year. So I want to talk about that. We got Will Hunter of Locked On Spartans. Will, thanks for joining us today.
Always happy to join the show, Matt. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I know that you are kind of in the middle of the summer doldrums in terms of finding things to talk about. Mm-hmm. We are almost there on Locked On Pistons. We got a free agency coming up, then summer league, but we're staring at mid-July thinking, what the heck are we going to talk about? So obviously some news where we kind of intersect, which broke late last week after the draft, with Matt McQuaid joining the Pistons. It sounds like it's going to be just a summer league deal for right now. So tell me what you know about where that stands and what we can expect from Quaid in Vegas.
Yeah, print the 2020 championship shirts for the Pistons right now.
Absolutely.
It looks like
Finals MVP.
Yeah, Finals MVP Matt McQuaid. Lock it in, etch it into stone. You etch into glass. It doesn't matter. I think it's just a summer league deal right now for McQuaid. It was originally reported that they had, I think the wording was they struck a deal. So it seemed to insinuate that there was a signing, which would have caught me by surprise had he signed as a free agent. Summer league tryout only makes more sense for him. And so, yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing how his game translates to the next level. He's got a number of things that he does well, and I think he has some NBA skills right now that just need a little bit more refining, right? The shot's going to take some time to adjust to the additional distance and things like that. The number one thing, if I'm a Pistons fan and if I'm a Michigan State fan, who I'm sure there's some intersection, you're rooting for McQuaid to make it to the Pistons one day. The one thing I'm really locked in on at Summer League is how does he look athletically stacked up with the group of guys out there? Because it's, you know, Summer League's a jump up certainly from college. But it's still not, you know, there's a discernible gap between what goes on at the Summer League and what happens on NBA floors every night. And so I think watching him athletically on defense and seeing how he holds up there is going to be the first indication of whether this could work out. Because, you know, he's a first team All Big Ten defender, McQuaid was, his senior season. And I put it this way, he wins on defense, not with overwhelming athleticism, but with really good technique. And a really good mind. He grew into just a really savvy defender over his time at Michigan State. It's probably the best way to characterize it. One thing I can point to that is just a perfect example of it is you guys can get in trouble with hand checks, especially in the NBA when you're going against really talented and smart wings who know how to take advantage of your little slip-ups. You'll see guys stick their hands out instead of up and get caught in situations like that. And picking up, you know, ticky-tack fouls or sending a guy to a line in a situation where it was just no need to have your hand in there. McQuaid doesn't get caught up in things like that. He has really good hand placement on defense. He obstructs the view of the offensive player with his hands, but doesn't get in too close, doesn't pick up stupid fouls like that, is always in the right spot. And so when you do things like that, it starts to just build up on each other where maybe he doesn't have quite the explosiveness, but he's always in the right spot. He's always doing the right thing. And when you do that, it's going to be tough to get beat often. So once the competition steps up another level, I'm curious to see how well that sort of defensive winning mentality holds up for him. And if it's enough to overcome what might be some athletic limitations with him out on the wing.
And we'll see what happens with him in Summer League, but really from his perspective, and like you mentioned, the intersectional fans who would want him to be with the Pistons someday would hope for that. But from Matt McQuaid's personal perspective, maybe just signing that Summer League deal with Detroit could be a good thing, because if we're looking at this roster right now with the Pistons, not only just for Summer League, but for making the team, the Pistons have Khyree Thomas, Bruce Brown, and Sfi Mikhailiuk, three guys that all play his position, that are all second-year guys that are looking for minutes, that are all, going to be on the Summer League roster, and of course, presumably on the Pistons main roster too. Now, that said, a lot of the guys that play in Summer League, and we don't know if contract details of whether there has been an offer for Matt McQuaid to be an affiliate player with the Grand Rapids Drive at some point, but that is usually how that kind of works. So from McQuaid's perspective, maybe he does have that autonomy to play well in Summer League and possibly catch on with whatever NBA franchise that he chooses to, mm-hmm. with the idea of maybe possibly getting a two-way deal or at least getting an affiliate deal with a G League team in whatever situation that he wants to be. Now, for Lockdown Spartans listeners that might be hearing this, if you're in an affiliate deal with the Grand Rapids Drive, you are essentially still a free agent in terms of how the basketball structure works. If you're on one of the two players for an NBA franchise on a two-way deal that gets shuttled between the G League team and the NBA team, that means that you're, you know, property of the NBA franchise. But if you play well for the Drive and you're an affiliate player there, any team across the NBA can scoop you up and make you a two-way player at any time. So, you know, long story short, there's a lot of possibilities for McQuaid to advance his career. And of course, there's probably a little bit even more money out in Europe. And of course, that gets advanced with a nice Summer League performance too. So really, the opportunities in front of him, provided he gets hopefully as much minutes as possible in Vegas coming up in July.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because there's just him and then Benny Boatwright are the two rookies, it looks like, that are going to be on the Summer League team. And just like you mentioned, there are a lot of guys, a lot of young wings with the Pistons who played NBA minutes who have something to show in Summer League. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what type of minutes he gets. And, yeah, if he can get a two-way deal somewhere, even if it's not, you know, I'm hoping selfishly it's with the Drive. I'm not sure. Do they have anyone under two-way right now? Or does that,
yeah.
What is that?
It can reset, but it's been reported that that they signed today, as we speak on Monday, Lewis King, who's a 6'9 guy from Oregon, who was a one and done at Oregon, kind of really a lot like Kevin Porter Jr. in that he came in as a very highly touted recruit as a freshman, and has since, you know, he had a horrific freshman year, went into the draft, was thought to be a second round pick, and did not get selected. So just like Benny Boatwright,
okay,
was a guy that they picked up. That was today. And then it's I believe it was reported somewhere that they've already secured their last pick from the draft, Jordan Bone, who was picked 57, the point guard from Tennessee, that he is reportedly going to be on a two-way deal too. But I don't know that that's solid reporting there, so we'll kind of see as that goes along. Sometimes they'll do the summer league. They'll even do it at training camp before they commit to what players are going to be on those two-way deals. And those are not guaranteed deals. You can get dropped from a two-way right away. So there might be some ironing out to go there. But yeah, in terms of McQuaid, I mean, you might want to, you know, it would take a very, very good summer league performance, in my opinion, for him to land a two-way deal, whether with the Pistons or whoever else. So,
yeah,
you know, he's got to kind of prove his way in the G League, or like I said, possibly even in Europe, where for him, you know, it's just like hockey, where sometimes you make a little bit more money in Europe, but if you want to kind of gamble on yourself, you could play in the AHL or possibly with the G League for basketball and make a little bit less money, but be more in the mix and be more possibility of getting that call up to an NBA team or a two-way deal and getting. So it's kind of like that. There's a weird hierarchy of how it kind of works with the top of the minor leagues in these sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of got to decide what he wants to do maybe after this summer.
Yeah, I think, just like you said, two-way is going to be tough, really anywhere, but tough in Detroit. But if you can have a nice summer league, maybe there's an affiliate spot, which, you know, includes that increased salary, affiliate fees with G League, which helps, of course. I think for him, the smartest path, if he wants to play in the NBA, I think the smartest path for him, and this is what I've been saying predominantly, is that I think one day Matt McQuaid can play in the NBA. I think he needs a full season in the G League and then sort of reevaluate from there. I think if he heads over to Europe and kind of, you know, makes more money, gets lost in the wash, I think it's just still, even though it's getting a little better, it's tougher for guys to come back over to Europe. And I think really they come back from Europe and end up in the G League and then make their way back to the NBA. But if he can hang around with a franchise and do well in the G League, get a little bit stronger, maybe a little bit quicker, you know, the professional strength program really matters. I keep pointing to Bryn Forbes, just, you know, the Michigan State connection is obvious, but the limitations in the game were really similar coming out of school. And, you know, Forbes just needed time. He needed a couple of years. The shot eventually translated. The playmaking slowly but surely came along, and now he finds himself, you know, starting for an undermanned Spurs team, but he'll be on the Spurs bench as a solid rotational player next year. And I think McQuaid can end up being that type of guy one day, but I would really like to see him get some, you know, get an opportunity in the summer league, play well, and then either earn himself, you know, that affiliate designation or just a spot, whether it's on the Drive or another team, because they sign with the G League. I've been learning about the G League over the last week or so and trying to like pass that info on to my listeners. They actually sign with the league and are just free agents, free to be picked up unless they're on certain deals that have protections. But if he can find himself in a good spot in the G League, and get that good developmental year, I think he can one day be a 3-and-D wing who can be someone who eats minutes for you, hits the occasional big shot, and does well in the perimeter, and, you know, isn't, you know, someone who's racking up big negative numbers when he's on the court in an NBA game.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think his performance in the Big Ten tournament and then in the NCAA tournament obviously kind of put him a little bit more on the spotlight, including the greatest dunk of all time in the Duke game as well.
Yeah, there's I think that surprised a lot of people, and it surprised me, but I think there might be a little bit more athleticism than we give him credit for, just because his game in college wasn't conducive to that. But you see, there's a little bit of pop in the jump. He can get up and throw down. But he had the game against Michigan in the Big Ten title game, where he was just, actually, I have his stats profile pulled up right now. I can, 27 points on 15 total field goals. So, 7 of 13 from the line. Like, he can fill it up. It's not what his role was at Michigan State. But when Matt McQuaid gets going, he can absolutely just light a team up very quickly from deep. And I think the expansion of his three game is going to be really important. He's gotten better. He's a good transition shooter. He's got the nice pump fake on the wing that works every time. He's a good catch and shoot guy. He's going to have to get better at shot creation, but he's also going to have to get better at shooting in tight spaces, coming off a quick curl and rising up in traffic and hitting from there. You know, just tough. You could almost call him like JJ Redick type shots. Even though he's the master at it, you know, you got to be better at things like that. And that's just something that's going to take time for him, because that's not what you see day to day in the Big Ten, that type of defense.
Although, like you said, the numbers against Michigan kind of stand out because you got a guy drafted in the first round, you got a guy drafted in the second round, and then Matthews, who would, you know, would have possibly been a draft pick himself if he didn't have the ACL injury. So going up against NBA type of players and having that kind of output is a good thing for him. But Will, since we got you here, I wanted to ask you about the other guys, you know, Nick Ward and Kenny Goins as well, guys that are in similar spots as McQuaid, but with other teams.
Yeah, I think the thing McQuaid has that's an advantage over the other two is it's easy to project what he needs to be in the NBA. Like, it's a 3-and-D wing, and that's full stop. That's what Matt McQuaid's going to be if he's going to make it to the NBA. It's a little tougher with Ward because the back-to-the-basket post guy is very quickly being phased out of the game, and that's his strength. And with Kenny Goins, he's a tweener. Is he, you know, is he a small four? Is he a big three that doesn't move as well? He doesn't have the perimeter game to play at the three. He can, from a skill standpoint, play at the four, be a stretch four pick and pop guy. But he showed, you know, a little bit of a weakness with bigger guys. I mean, it's tough to use Zion Williamson in this sort of evaluation. But a big, powerful guy like him, like, he ate Kenny's lunch when he was on him in that Elite Eight game. And Kenny's just, you know, he's a big, strong guy, but someone who is, I don't know, a Boogie Cousins type, you know, like a big post body who's going to work down there. That's going to be a tough ask for him. So he's in a little bit of that tweener spot and just doesn't have the things that I think you need to really excel and be able to stay on the floor in the NBA. And Draymond Green's the easy one again because he went to Michigan State. When Draymond came out, he was a tweener, but he had an incredible skill set. He could handle the ball. You saw the point forward stuff at Michigan State. And Kenny is a dribble handoff guy. He's a screener. He dribbles once and then looks to distribute the ball to keep the offense moving. So I'm not sure how he ends up fitting in the NBA, although I absolutely love him. I think he's a great story. I think his shot still has a little bit of a ways to go. And ultimately, if he's going to end up in the NBA, it would be kind of as this little small stretch four. And I just worry about him defensively. I think he needs to get even bigger in the lower body and get better on the defensive end to be able to hang. You know, he's a good rebounder. He can block some shots and can hit threes, but he's kind of got to get better at all those things as well as add more dimensions to his game. So I think he's got a really high hill to climb, but I love Kenny, and I wouldn't, you know, bet against him because of the path he took. He's just someone who you root for and works really hard. He'll play professionally as long as he wants to. It just may not ever reach the highest level. And then with Nick, it's really interesting because he's going to have to change a lot of what he did. What he did at Michigan State was get his butt on the block, work for position, get the ball, and score. And I think he could walk into the NBA right now and be an efficient, at times, not as efficient as you want, low block scorer. He's just really skilled for a big dude. But he's kind of got what scouts would like to refer to as a bad body. He's not overly, like, overweight or anything like that. He's just a little bit thin in the lower body and a little bit too big. You kind of, like, if you could flip his bodies, like, give him a thinner upper body and a bigger lower body, he would look good like an NBA athlete. But he just kind of has this little hitch in his step. He's not a very fluid athlete, and his feet on the defensive end don't move well enough yet in order to guard the pick and roll, and that's something that was exploited at college. And if you're getting exploited in pick and roll screen situations at college, you cannot play in the NBA. So that's on the defensive end, and then he's going to have to expand his game. There's a jump shot there. He can handle it a little bit. He was never allowed to at Michigan State, so he's going to need some time. I think he's another guy who could really stand to benefit from a year or two in the G League, see if he can get into better shape, continue rebounding well. He can block some shots too, and if he can get his feet where they need to be defensively and be able to guard and be a switchable big and then step out and be able to play from the perimeter, hit shots from deep, corner threes, things like that, I think there's a chance he could make it. He's really skilled, really big, really strong, really skilled, and works really hard. He just doesn't have the NBA skill set right now, and so he's going to have to do a little bit of developing And, you know, I hope a team takes a chance on him and sees the upside, because I think he could become, you know, this is like the ceiling, and it's not the greatest ceiling, but it's a solid ceiling, like a Maurice Spates kind of guy, a big lumbering dude who can hit from anywhere and can come off the bench and give you 7 points in 45 seconds in a spot, but not someone you're relying on to carry the offense, carry the defense for extended periods of time.
Love the Spates comparison. Oh, that guy will pull it from anywhere.
I know, yeah.
He will pull it anytime, any place.
And Nick doesn't have that range yet, but he's got that mentality. I feel like if Nick can hit from 30 consistently, Nick will be someone who will not be scared to pull the trigger at the next level. I think he loves shooting. He loves getting buckets. And I think he's got a really nice jumper. It just hasn't been extended out to that level yet. And I think it can. We've seen him hit jumpers from 17. We've seen him, you know, face up, you know, outside of the block and hit from 12, 15 pretty easily. And it looks really nice. And he's 3 for 3 in his career on three-pointers as well.
So, wow.
Yeah, well, end of perfect. The shot clock, desperations. Yeah, greatest three-point shooter in Michigan State history. So it's there. He's just got a ways to go to prove it and prove that it's there consistently and can be translated to a game.
And then Nick Ward sounds like he's playing with Atlanta
yep.
in Summer League, and Kenny Goins with the Denver Nuggets, from what I can tell.
Yeah, and Denver doesn't have a G League team, so...
That's right. That's one of the two teams, I believe. That
yeah.
Portland with no G League team.
Yep.
So yeah, a little bit more of a steeper hill in terms of Denver and available possibilities there. But yeah, would love to see Goins. Everyone around the program, you know, says great things about Kenny mm-hmm. Goins, a fifth year guy who came in as a walk on. As if you watch the Michigan State games, they pounded into your head repeatedly.
Yeah.
but Warren Mott, I believe, and had yep. the scholarship offer to play at Central, decided he was a Michigan State Spartan. When he was born, so he decided he was going to go there. But, Will, I also want to ask you about looking ahead, and we know all about Cassius Winston coming back to Michigan State as one of the, you know, the best players in college basketball, and no real ceiling on this team for this team this year that Tom Izzo has coming back. But Xavier Tillman's a guy who, from an NBA perspective, obviously the body, obviously with the athleticism, but it feels like there's something there as mm-hmm. far as a lottery pick type of talent down the road. Am I crazy for thinking that about him?
No, a late lottery is a real possibility. If Xavier Tillman has the reins pulled off of him in terms of offensive shot selection and being able to shoot wherever he wants, and it won't be that free reign because of the guys he plays with. Basically, if Tom Izzo lets Xavier Tillman shoot threes, he could be a lottery pick. He can absolutely... do it all on the defensive end, and he's an instinctive defender, which is just really, you can't teach that, but he's just in the right spot, and he's an explosive guy, and he's got a really good second jump, which is something that Draymond has, why he can get back up and block shots. But his game right now offensively is a lot of he's a good screener, good roller to the rim, certainly can finish above the rim, and really great offensive rebounder, and can finish in traffic there. But he can shoot, and if he's allowed to shoot, if he's you know, shooting 3-4 three-pointers a game and shooting at a 38% clip, 39-40, I absolutely think he could be a lottery pick. I wouldn't be surprised if Xavier Tillman shot 40% from three next year on solid volume, and then went to, you know, 78-82% from the free throw line, like good numbers that indicate this guy can convert to the next level as a shooter. And he takes the steps that it looks like he's going to, I think he could be a lottery pick. Yeah, not out of the question to think that. He is really talented, really athletic, really smart, and has all the intangible stuff you want to, that you kind of tend to get out of Michigan State guys, the really hardworking, blue-collar, ready-to-punch-you-in-the-mouth type stuff. But yeah, Xavier Tillman can play, and I'm looking forward to him maybe more than anyone else on the team next year. We'll see about Marcus Bingham Jr., if he can get on the floor. I'm really intrigued by his talent. But Tillman is going to be really special next year.
Yeah, like you said, every time I watched Tillman, he did one or two things every game where you're like, wow, I didn't know he could do that. And mm-hmm. after a while, it's like, maybe we should stop being so surprised.
Yeah, yeah, it's the same way as a fan. You're like, whoa, that was nice. I bet he can't do it again. And then
right.
the more time he got, the more he showed it. And the MSU offense transformed when Ward went out and Tillman went in, and it's the reason why Ward got Wally pipped, is because the offense became almost, you know, it's to an extent not going to be the same, but it was about as close as Michigan State's ever been to an NBA offense in terms of pick and rolls and the way they were running things, getting away from you know, standard plays and what Izzo really likes to do. And that's because Xavier Tillman can move. He can screen anywhere, get to the rim really quickly, and it's just a problem for teams when he's out there on the offensive end. He does all those little things and just opens up space for people. He's a good passer, too, and looks like he's going to be a really good player.
All right, and back to Matt McQuaid a little bit. A little bit of a checkered history with the Pistons in terms of Michigan State guys.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Kelser, who suffered a couple, you know, one of the best Michigan State players of all time, suffered the injuries and was in Seattle kind of in short form. Mateen Cleaves, obviously, you know, a great college player,
yeah.
for sure, but just didn't have the tools and the shot, most notably, to become, you know, an impact player in the NBA. But now, you know, Kalen Lucas was on a two-way deal last year. Sounds like that's not going to be happening for him, and he's going to have to dig his career back up. And I'm certainly not going to be betting against him. But yeah, it would be nice to have some more Spartans in Little Caesars Arena, and we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, that would be great. And if McQuaid ends up with the Drive, you know, they're just down the road for me out here in West Michigan. So I'm
for
all
now.
About that. Yeah,
for now. Yeah,
yeah.
Two more years at least, and then it sounds like it'll be Detroit.
Yeah,
after that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Will Hunter of Locked On Spartans, what else you got for us for the next few weeks? Anything special planned for the kind of the doldrums here?
Well, I've got some listeners coming on. I'm doing this thing where I've outsourced the work to my listeners.
Always the best way to go. Yeah.
And so I've got a few more in the holster right now of listener segments where they actually join me on a Skype call or conference call, and we record a segment of them co-hosting the show with me. So I got a few of those coming up. I'm going to do some feature things, looking back at the past. I'm going to talk about the best uniforms in Michigan State history. We're going to look at D'Antonio's record as it relates to recruiting rankings and different things like that. Recruiting is the nice little thing that can get us through the summer a little bit. So that's something in the immediate future here as the dead period sets in with college. We got recruit talk, recruiting, all that stuff. Just, you know, the standard fare, whatever comes up, we'll figure it out. That's how the show goes. We just fly by the seat of the pants, you know?
It's a fun listen, and if you're a Spartans fan, and even just even a casual Spartans fan, you should check in with Will at On Spartans is the Twitter handle for mm-hmm. Locked On Spartans, and also Will with one L and two underscores,
yes.
Hunter, there as well. Will, thanks for the time, bud.
I need to get a better Twitter handle. Thanks, Matt.
You're golden. And one more reminder that when you are driving to or from work or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons, and we will be right there for you, with you, for your drive, commute. All you need is me sitting on that passenger seat. That's the only way that could be better. And we could arrange that for a price if you wanted me to sit shotgun while we commute around town. We could probably pull that off if you need me to help you get to work or do the chores or whatever you need done. I am for sale. So anyway, I guess some bad news to pass along is, not bad news, progress is a good thing, but the Pistons announced, Tom Gora's, along with Livonia-based Showstack Brothers and Company, I probably got that name wrong, and maybe that makes me a bad Southeast Michigan resident by maybe not knowing how to pronounce the name of one of the premier developers, I guess, in the Southeast Michigan area. But the Palace is coming down, the former home of the Detroit Pistons, soon to be demolished. And I'm kind of reading a lot from the Detroit News article about it by Brianna Noble, who I guess is a bit of a co-worker of mine that I've never met from the Detroit News. So Tom Gores in a statement said, "We promised the people of Auburn Hills and Oakland County that we would find a solution that would be good for the community and make a positive economic impact. Partner with a proven, well-respected developer like Showstack Brothers is an important step in delivering on that promise." So, yeah, it's going to, you know, they're moving downtown to the, or I guess I should say to the news center area, to the Henry Ford Detroit Pistons Performance Center headquarters. That's going to be this fall. Obviously, that's what everything's going to be moved to. That's the practice facility. That's the team headquarters. And, you know, after that is all done, then they will demolish it. So what they're talking about doing is 1 million square feet of mixed-use office and research and development space. According to the Pistons, they did not talk about financial concerns or what the deal was, because it's a private enterprise between two private companies. So obviously the Pistons have no responsibility to the public to disclose that information. So the Palace is coming down, and it's going to be turned into hopefully something that, you know, spurs some of the economic development in Northern Oakland County. I grew up in Oakland County, so obviously I'm sensitive to the concerns of the Oakland County residents. I know that's a lot of the reason for the population or the attendance decline at games at the new downtown arenas, because you have a lot of people who were used to going to games and they worked up in Northern Oakland County or they live up in Oakland County, and it was a lot easier for them to go to games. And not only that, but Southern Genesee County. You're talking about some Flint residents as well. Some people up in the Grand Blanc area that could maybe get to the Palace pretty easily, but not necessarily want to go to downtown on a weeknight or things like that. And maybe the parts of the Southeast Michigan Metro Detroit community that maybe could be more accessible to downtown maybe aren't into it, or maybe this isn't a Pistons team that's attracting new customers. That's certainly probably the case as well. You know, downriver has always kind of been known as Detroit Red Wings area. And, you know, downtown residents, you know, millennials like myself, maybe we're going to catch a few games here and there, but we're not going to buy season tickets or don't have a company of my own that's going to get season tickets or anything like that. A million reasons, obviously, for the ebbs and flows of the attendance. And obviously, this is a little bit more of an ebb and a little bit less of a flow, or maybe the other way around. But, you know, the Pistons have a little bit of an attendance problem. It's something we've talked about at length on the show and we'll continue to. But looking back on the Palace times, we'll, you know, when it gets closer to the demolition date, we'll do some remembrances of it. I'll open the text line and the Google Voice line to you guys as well to talk about your Palace memories. But it's kind of sad, you know, like I said, a lot of us have a lot of memories there, and a lot of you guys have been to a lot of games as well, and those who haven't, I'm sure, have watched all sorts of games at the Palace of Auburn Hills. We're talking about three championship teams. We're talking about, you know, decades of memories. One of the premier sporting facilities across the country, no doubt about that. Ahead of its time, Little Caesars Arena was not built because there was anything wrong with the Palace. The Pistons could have stayed there for a number of more years, and everything would have been just fine in terms of the newness and modern amenities of the Palace. So that wasn't the issue for the Pistons, but new times, and we're moving on. So that's the case there, and that's the news from today. But a little bit of sadness tinged in there. Maybe I'm a little bit surprised that I'm a little bit more sad about that than maybe I will. Are you guys? Let me know. Reach out on social media. Let me know if you have any emotions about that. But thanks again to Will Hunter of Locked On Spartans for joining us today. Appreciate the time, and appreciate you guys even more so for listening to us every day. This is your host, Matt Shook, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening.